After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
This is a true story of three strangers.
And that was unique to me. Like, I had never seen anything like that.
Picked to live in a podcast house.
Dream on.
Dream on.
Yeah. Work together and have their lives taped.
With
Shut up.
Armageddon was over the top.
Armageddon is a great action movie. To find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real. This is the After School Special Podcast.
Detroit!
The wildly popular show is going to make some of us feel very old. MTV's The Real World show is credited with pioneering the reality TV genre.
Reality TV is everywhere now, but at the time, the show was nearly unprecedented as Americans tuned in to see what happened when. As the show's tagline went, people stop being polite and start getting real.
Welcome to the show. We're talking The Real World. So, Real World. We started getting real. The Real World lasted 33 seasons, started in 1992, which I thought was kind of crazy. Had no clue that that was the case. Dealing with politics, dealing with religion, the AIDS epidemic at the time, prejudice as well. Real World was inspired by a documentary series, An American Family. It focuses on the lives of a group of strangers. I've never seen this before, Don. I remember getting into The Real World and also Road Rules right around like the 2000s. I think the introduction, and you and I both talked about it, our introduction to The Real World was, I think, Real World Chicago, the 2002 version.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wasn't my introduction, but that's the first season where I became hooked and saw every episode. But I've seen other episodes, but I was pretty damn poor when I was a kid. I didn't really get cable in my house until I was in high school. But even then, I wasn't really watching Real World that much. But 2002, 2003, after the aftermath of 9/11, I think people wanted to escape even more, including me, because I don't know about your parents. I don't know about people who are around our age, millennials, Generation X. The news in my house was on all the time, like CNN and everything, just trying to see what's going on in the war. So I think it got to the point where we got tired of hearing, you know, this week we're on level orange, level green, level purple nurple.
But level this, brown.
Yeah.
Getting your pants.
Those foreigners, you know, they all that rhetoric that we were hearing from our government. I think it reached a breaking point, and I think that's when a lot of people like me search for something. And it was a way of searching for reality. But was it really reality? Was it really the real world? And that's where I kind of fell into that trap as well. And I started with Real World Chicago.
So yes. Going into it, I know the first few seasons was more of like experimental. These people, these groups of people that are from different parts of society, some that grew up in urban areas, others that grew up on a farm. Like, it was all kind of just them learning each other, learning, I guess, acceptance in every way, shape, and form. And then you get into, and I think it had to have been Chicago. You know, most of our listeners remember Woodstock 99 with the riots and everything.
Yeah.
This new version of what teen angst was, there was a lot of anger. A lot of anger because no one knew why there was a lot of anger. Maybe because we had bands like Limp Bizkit and Korn. You know, like,
break your breaking face tonight.
No offense if you like them. I know they're becoming like a meme now and becoming popular again. While
no, take offense.
Fred Durst looks like the Colonel from KFC, like with his mustache and white hair.
I'm actually, well, maybe I'm going back into them too, because that was exactly the time, 2002. 2003, that's when I started getting into Limp Bizkit. Yes, I did. Linkin Park. Rock music. Yes. And actually, to not correct something you said in the beginning, but there was actually a season before the first one. It was a piloted season. Did you see that too?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was called Season Zero.
Yep. There wasn't too much of that. I think it was Tracy Grandstaff who ended up being the voice of Daria. That was the only thing that came out of that. But yeah, the Real World, they, in the 90s, you had like Beverly Hills 90210, Melrose Place, and I never watched any of that shit. MTV wanted something similar to that in
scripted.
The vein of real TV. Originally scripted,
yes. Originally
and
scripted.
It just, it did not work. Every reality TV show, and I was looking it up, says that they got inspired by An American Family. Like Big Brother was another one. Survivor, I guess, was another one. It was an American family, you know, on a desert island or something. And then people are just shitting in bags. And
well, the creators, Boonham and Murray, they, like you said, they initially wanted a scripted one, but they abandoned that because they thought it was just too much money. And it was the first concept of that type of show on MTV, which at that point was a primary music programming, music videos and everything like that. So I read that one of them recounted what they saw in the 70s, thought it was a good idea. They did the pilot, like a test pilot, as you mentioned, and after they did the 7 episode, don't quote me on that, 7 episode, they looked at it, they liked it, but they didn't use any of those cast members in that test pilot, alluding to what you said about Daria, the woman who went on to become a voice actor in Beavis and Butthead and then subsequently got her own show. But I know I'm going a little ahead of you a little bit, but after the first season, as you know, was panned by critics. This was a relatively new thing that MTV was introducing to pop culture, but it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't new. It was new at least to the generation consuming it. And the new generation consuming it was, by and large, they loved it.
Yeah.
And in 1992, after it came out, these cast members on the first season was at the VMAs. VMAs with Nirvana, VMA, and they got almost as big applause as the people there at the VMA. So this was even more hyped up that I was aware of because, well, we were only 8 at that time.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I wasn't really watching it then, but like, you have more so than anything was the AIDS epidemic that was going on. Season 3 introduced a character on there. He was an AIDS activist. He had AIDS. Pedro Zamora.
I wanted to also say, to add on to that first season, the first episode tripled the ratings for MTV just from the first episode. It tripled the rating of the lead in musical video programming, and getting this information from The Ringer, by the way. But that was fascinating that it kind of caught on quickly. I thought it would, you know, some shows nowadays, it takes like the 5th, 6th, 7th before you see kind of that ratings downpour.
Well, I think it definitely showed our acceptance as, you know, like our generation and then even the Gen Xers, because this was a massive thing that was going on, and it was going on since the 80s. And Zamora, he was the first openly gay man with AIDS in any type of popular media in general. So it was huge. And I think people probably tuned in more to that just to kind of see who this person was and know that they're accepted by MTV. They're showcasing this person, which has never happened before. I think that's probably why the ratings went through the roof.
Well, Zamora was an activist too. He wasn't just, oh, hey, here's a gay guy. He was an activist because if I read it correctly, he got AIDS from a blood transfusion that he got.
Yeah.
I think when he was 16. And I think he just went on to demystify all the things that were happening at that time, because this was off the heels of one of the most famous people in the world announcing that he had HIV, which was Magic Johnson. And he subsequently retired after that.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, babies, you liking the show? Well, thanks. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment, please. Do you want to see the guys' faces? Well, they got YouTube videos. It comes out every Wednesday before the episode comes out on Friday. You can watch this podcast on any major platform you listen to. rate 5 stars and comment. Thanks, babies.
So this show, I think, at least the seasons that we were watching, drastically changed. And I don't know when. Or it could have always been like this, that people were just getting wasted. But I thought, it seemed to me like the earlier seasons felt more that like there was more of a dialogue. And then as it progressed, and I don't know about like after 2008, because I think both of us, we just watched it just like a blip on the radar. Like
yeah.
A few seasons and then we were done. Because I watched the Vegas season, which I think it was season 12. And I was like, this is a shit show.
2003, like, 2004.
Everyone's getting wasted and falling over. And I'm like, why do I want to watch a bunch of drunk people? Well, then, you know, you have other shows that were similar to this. Real World was the one that started the conversation about all these things, multicultural questions, and then also questions about gay, straight, bi, trans, all this stuff coming out at once, and acceptance being the main word. Like, these people were accepted for the first time in mainstream media. And then also Asian, Black, Mexican, like all coming together, white, all coming together to just like hash it out. And you're going to have these personalities that are bigger than others. And you just see how this experiment went. But now, well, at least what I was seeing is everyone just gets fucking drunk and that's it. And then they just like bang each other and then on occasion break up and then bang some more. And then at the end of every week, they go into a confessional and say, oh, I'm not banging Larry anymore. I'm banging Terry.
Well, you bring something up. Like, the show has been accused of A, being fake or being staged. And really, rightfully so, like introducing archetypal characters like that fit like
certain stereotypes.
There you go. Like you were saying.
Yes.
And
exactly. But it wasn't so much like that in the beginning. Yes, you had these people in there, but they weren't stereotypes. They were just like, they were having conversations about current events that were affecting them as people. And then you get into later seasons and you start seeing those stereotypes come out. You start seeing more and more of that happening. And
real quick, the cast members themselves, like in season one, roommate Eric Niles, and this is from The Ringer, he recalls producers leaving a book of Bruce Weber's photos. Bruce Weber was one of the people on the show, a roommate, and the producers put a book where Bruce had photos where he posed naked, and they put it on the coffee table for all the roommates to discover. See, shit like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like, and he was like, yeah, they wanted us to discover that in order for us to get a reaction so they can record on video. So yeah, the reaction is real, but how organic was it when people outside of the show, well, not outside of the show, but people that are supposed to experience this stuff genuinely.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of manipulative like that. And there's other talks of people on the show saying like, yeah, they would edit it a certain way to make us look like jerks sometimes, or make you fit your trope of what you're supposed to be.
The narrative that they wanted from you. If there was also, I can't remember who it was, but like the angry Black woman trope was another thing.
That was season one too. Yeah.
Yep. And the way that they would edit things and also during their confessional, they would also bring up things. And I think there actually is footage of them like saying, well, you know, Jesse said this, blah, blah, blah about you. And, you know, The Real World, I think for what it originally was a great idea. But as you and I watched it, it became what reality TV is now on Netflix.
Absolutely.
Like, what is it? Love is Blind and all this.
Real Housewives, Black Ink. You probably don't know nothing about that.
What, Real Housewives?
No, Black Ink.
Oh, no, I don't know anything about Black
Mob
Ink.
Wives.
I know about Mob Wives.
Love is Blind. Big Brothers.
Well,
Big Brothers.
So
Big Brother. Jesus Christ.
Pay rate for this, the first few episodes, I don't know if they were paid the first season. If
they were. They were paid
$2,000?
$2,500
for
3 months.
Seasons after that, I think it was like $5,000. And The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I think they're like $63,000 an episode or something like that.
See, it's different now because everybody has a brand. Back then,
yep,
there was no idea or thought of branding, but there was no cell phones.
No streamers, no YouTube.
Yeah, you weren't even thinking of that stuff. So when you were stuck in a house with somebody, you were really stuck. There was no, I'm going to go on the internet. I mean, the internet was there.
It was barely anything. But it was like, I'm going to sit here with my wife and watch this shit.
But the thing that Real World did introduce that got copied and is still copied until this day is the confessional.
And yes,
one of the contestants, I believe in 1995, producers were asking, how can we make this show better? And they asked the people that have been on the show. And one of those people that were on the show, he said, you know, I wish that there was a time separate from my roommates where I could just vent and I can just vent to the camera. And that's when the confessional was born. And now you see it everywhere. And yep. I actually used to love the fucking confessionals. And then after around like 2003 or four, you see the reunion shows when everybody comes back to the show and, you know, they talk about what they've been doing after the show. And then you see people's faces because, you know, they've seen the confessionals and they've seen the show. So
yeah.
Now the person you thought was your friend, you're like, oh, you were talking shit. Okay. Which is so weird to me now because it's like, you know, they're going to see it. Why are you saying this shit in the confessional? But relationships change in the course of 3 months, I guess. So
I think it made for good TV. And I know that there were things where the producers were pressing them or putting little thoughts in their head as to, well, this person is saying this. What do you think about this? And they're like, Joe said that about me? Well, fuck him and fuck his kids. And it's just like, this whole thing, reality TV, and now I probably watch reality TV more now than ever because my girlfriend, she loves reality TV. She loves The Housewives.
I'm sorry. I did some research. It's second. So it's drama TV shows is number one, and number two is reality TV shows.
Then watch, man. Watch. Reality TV shows became TikTok, and now TikTok and like all these little short videos because our brains are like, literally, by watching that stuff, and yes, we are on TikTok, and we are on Instagram, watch our reels, podcast. But it literally is, it's messing with our brains, the way that our chemical makeup, we're not meant to get that much information in, man. We're supposed to be outside, like, running from predators, or hunting, and then just getting all mounty and doing that.
I'm all about the mount. But my thing about it, when you watch these shows, and we alluded to it earlier, you see yourself as one of the characters. At least I did.
I didn't. All these people were mentally ill.
Well, the thing about it, they started including more black people around the time I started watching. So it was like, yeah, I probably would react looking all bewildered of all the white people doing crazy white people things. I'm sorry.
So I think it was Seattle, and I can't remember who it was, but I was like, one of the people that came from the Real World, and I don't think it was him that did this, but Karamo Brown, who's on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I do not remember which season he was in, but there was, and this is going to sound, because I don't think all black people look the same, but in Seattle, there was the episode where the dude runs out. I think it was Seattle. I can't remember. He runs out of the house, which, by the way, they all got a fucking amazing house / loft. Like to live in, I would have. Oh my God. That's what I'm saying.
Chicago is the first time where I'm like, dude, I could be on this show. I don't know. You didn't think about that. I thought about it. I'm like, a free vacation.
I
would love
to. No, yeah. My whole thing was I wanted to be on the show.
Oh,
Well, anyways, the dude ran out and then slapped that woman in the
face. Yes, I saw that. I saw that. He said he was joking and wasn't meant to be. I remember that.
He slapped her.
And he got kicked off the show like he should have. No, once you choose violence on that show against another roommate, because if you do it outside of the house, I think that's okay. Because even Chicago, I remember two guys getting in a fight with two people from the bar, like a real fight, and they didn't get kicked out. So it's only when you fight people in your house, which makes sense. Makes a ton of sense. But of course, you had parodies, which further put Real World on the map, like SNL. They did a parody in 1992, I believe, and in 1996 with Norm Macdonald. He was Bob Dole. Play Bob Dole in one of the Real World seasons. The first one was with Shannon Doherty being in the Real World house. And I think that was in 1992. Then you got Chappelle's Show doing the Mad yep. Real World.
This is the true story of six motherfucking strangers
being put in a motherfucking house
and have their motherfucking lives taken.
Find out what happens when people start being all polite and start being real.
Mad real.
Mad real, real.
Homeboy.
Right?
Hi.
All right.
Man, that's probably what kind of got me back interested in the Real World. But you had Charlie Murphy in that sketch. You had Donnell Rawlings on his set.
But yeah, no, that was hilarious.
Man, what a way to flip the concept on his head. Chappelle's Show. Shit, man.
But as it progressed, you know, like you did have some people that got some fame. Jamie Chung from San Diego. It's 2004. She was in a bunch of different movies. Dragon Ball Evolution, The Hangover, Lovecraft Country, and then Karamo Brown, as I had already mentioned.
That's pretty
good. I think he's got his own talk show now, too, which is awesome. And then Mizan. I know I'm saying that wrong, but he's the WWE wrestler, The Miz.
And yes, so some people... that was Back to New York, wasn't it? I remember that.
Was it Back
shit.
To New York?
I think it... so. Okay. It was. And shortly after that, I told you that story. I saw him in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he was like at a Bob Evans or shit. I was like, dude, that's the guy from Real World.
Yeah.
And that was shortly after I found out he was trying to be a wrestler. It wasn't WWE yet. He was doing like small time. Because on the show, he was trying to be, he was like, I want to be a wrestler. So that I thought that was kind of cool.
I thought it was cool too. And the fact too that he's probably one of the best heels in the history of the WWE. And anyone that says it's any different, like, he's awesome. Surprisingly enough, a lot of these people wanted to have fame, I think, after the fact, because you get that version of it. I think Road Rules, I'm more familiar with two of the people, at least, that came from Road Rules. Theo Vaughn, which everyone forgets, Theo Vaughn, the comedian, was on Road Rules.
Oh.
And then Christina Pajitsky, who's also a comedian. I always hate prefacing like Tom Segura's wife, but she's a great comedian. She's absolutely hilarious. Your Mom's House podcast. So there was fame for some people after that, but they didn't try to hold on to the reality TV star. They tried to branch out and create their own name, because you see a lot of people that just stayed with the reality TV, and a lot of them, that was it. They had their 15 minutes, and then you got YouTube coming out, and now it's the same thing with everyone else. You get your 15 minutes, you get a million likes, and then boom, you're done. You fizzle. You're out of here.
I mean, you just brought up Road Rules. That sprouted from the success of Real World.
Yep.
And that came out in 1995, and it ended in 2007, but Road Rules was...
I was going to say, I liked Road Rules more than I liked the Real World, because they were traveling all over the place.
But you know what that sprang, though? That sprang shows like Survivor. It sprang
Amazing Race.
Shows like Amazing Race.
Yes.
That cultural phenomenon of Real World and everything it sprung. Mm-hmm. Like even the Real World, the challenge, I believe that's what it's called.
Oh, God. I don't want to talk about that show. Okay,
we ain't got to talk about it. I'm just saying it's...
The stupid little fucking physical competitions that they have.
Yeah.
Like playing mind games. I'm like, who cares about what these people are doing?
Who cares about any of this shit? That's the whole point. Why did we watch? Why did we watch? Why did we care? Why do people stay up watching pretty mundane shit? People going to the bar, talking about their exes or the people they like, and like who?
Because they're basic. They wear polo shirts tucked in with a silver chain. They wear UGG boots with pink on the butt, sweatpants, and oversized hoodie from a university that they never attended, and their pussies smell, and their balls stink. That's those kind of people.
Who are you describing?
I'm describing
who are these people?
The creme de la creme of reality TV lovers, except for me and all the people that I care about.
Oh, you bring up an interesting point, identity. And that's what I was trying to say. Like, you might not have identified with the seasons that you watch, but I'm sure if you would have watched enough of it, you probably would have saw a loner type who was too good for the show, who wore...
What the fuck are you saying?
Someone like you.
Son of a bitch.
someone just like you, and you've been like, oh.
And yeah, they would have been like, yeah, Terry over there in the corner, he doesn't go out and drink with us.
No, that happens on that show. It's like, yo, why don't you ever go out? Blah, 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 blah. I've seen Las Vegas. It was a guy who was a virgin, and all the women were hitting on him, but he was like, I'm a virgin. I got a girlfriend at home. Everybody else is just fucking around and cheating and all of this. And
he's just like white knuckling, like, I just want to smell a butt.
Yeah, well, it was quite the opposite. He was just like, yo, I'm just here to experience new things.
No butt smelling.
No butt smelling. He turned out to be a gay senator. No, I'm kidding.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know.
He turned out to be Ted Cruz.
Oh, ooh, don't put that on him. Jeez. I can't wait for Real World to be on the moon. They're going to be in that Bezos club. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Well, so Amazon Prime. Last season was 2019. They haven't done another season. They've done the, like, going back and, like, the first season. I think it was the second season. And they reunions. Have everyone come back.
Yeah.
Reunion, living in the house and whatnot, which I'm like, okay. So I don't know if they're going to end up doing anything else. Plus, MTV is really no longer, like, I want to watch my MTV.
I thought Paramount picked them up. I thought Paramount.
Did Paramount pick up MTV?
That's what I saw. I don't know if anything's in production. Atlanta was the last one, 2019. Yeah,
was it? No, 2001 was the New York one when they redid
back
everything.
Back to New York. Yeah. That's crazy.
2001. Yeah, because they did Los Angeles 2021, and then they did, yeah, it's this homecoming episodes, because they did the Reunited, that was 5 years later, Real World, Homecoming, New Orleans. So it, well, they're just probably taking the best season, because that was season 9, was New Orleans.
And I take it back, the cool thing, from what I remember, after watching Chicago Real World, I think what I remember is, after I like, man, you know what, I really dug that. I can't wait for the next one. The next one was Las Vegas. But before Las Vegas came on, what they did, MTV, I remember, or MTV2, they replayed every season up until Las Vegas. So I did actually remember catching up a little bit on all of them. It's so long ago, but that was the first time I think I binged watched anything outside of Dragon Ball Z.
I was right. It was Real World Seattle that Irene McGee, she was the one that was slapped by Stephen Williams.
I knew it was Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you think about, like, the Real World as it was then. And I think about it, like, in the 90s. Honestly, that's where I thought it was like, wow, this is an experiment. This is interesting. You're learning about different cultures, different takes. And then as it progressed, it just became a shit show. People were getting drunk all the time. And that was basically it. And then you
That's
get
I wanted to be
Jersey. You get Jersey Shore. It's basically Jersey Shore.
Well, Jersey Shore GTL, is basically
GTL,
Real World.
GTL, GTL Laundry. Goodbye. Goodbye. Pauly D. And then The Situation.
Was that a good show?
Mike The Situation. No, it wasn't.
But Snooki came out. It seemed like every short, stubby woman had looking orange,
like,
all of a sudden.
Looking orange, pink. Lipstick,
big hair, big mob, yeah, like wide hair, like
smelled like Funyuns.
Yeah, this is not going on the show, but it's true. Spray tan, big boobs.
But then you have a dude's tanning as well, and then the hair, the what is it, the Prince Albert haircut that they spiked up, and then they were wearing Ed Hardy. Yeah, Ed Hardy, who was a talented tattoo artist, and then they turned his tattoos into awful, awful clothes.
Oh, and the hats. Exactly. What was the hats? Van Dutch or the, what was the guy?
Von Dutch.
Von Dutch. Van Dutch.
Yeah. Van Dutch.
Oh, Vonnie. Oh, yeah. Remember that? He had Paris Hilton wearing his stuff. He had a lot of celebrities wearing his stuff.
The phone that flipped up, and then it was like a laptop.
Ooh, the
thing,
flip phone.
Computer, Sidekick or whatnot. Beep, boop.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, if you like to see us in the flesh, we have video highlights of our episodes we release on every Wednesday before the new episode that comes out Friday. As always, you can catch this podcast on any major platform you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars and comment on how you're liking the show.
After School Special Podcast.
It's this lady and she's like, hi, welcome to my vagina.
After School Special Podcast.
What robot pet starts out speaking a unique language, but eventually speaks English? Gloopy? The fuck is a gloopy?
Podcast comes out every Friday.
In Chicago? Because I remember this. I remember during that season, if I'm not mistaken, because we didn't mention that, you know, when these strangers get into this new environment, the show gives these strangers a job. And I believe, yeah, you have that job for however long you're going to be there.
Working at a yogurt station or a t-shirt station.
Yeah, whatever it is. But it's usually a cool job. It's a cool job.
Annie Ann's Pretzels.
Yeah, and even the fucking place, like you alluded to earlier, like it's sweet villas, mansions.
Oh my god,
it's just sweet.
And they're going to work at an A&W and then get to come back to this loft.
So how much of a real world is this?
It's not exactly.
But my point is, they were supposed to be like talent agents or A&R. They were practicing being A&R people.
Yes.
And one of the A&R things they had to do was look at different bands to promote. And one of those bands was fucking Linkin Park. Their original name was not Linkin Park. It was something else.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
So it was before they were called Linkin Park. They were this
just
band
before.
And they had,
unknown they had found band. Them? They didn't find them. They were on their way up. They just didn't change their name yet. But so Linkin Park started in 1996, but they went by the name Zero, X-E-R-O. And I think it was in Chicago. It might have been when I was binging the seasons. It might have been back to New York because they were called Zero, X-E-R-O from 1996 to 1999. So that will kind of fall into, shit, that might have been Seattle. Because Seattle, the season in Seattle was 1998.
For some reason, I remember not Chicago, but back to New York. I thought that's what they were doing was some type of like A&R.
Oh, rep. Yeah, you might be right. Okay, so they were Zero, 1996 to 99. That's what they were known as. And then Hybrid Theory from 99 to 2000, which Hybrid Theory
was the name of their first album.
Their famous first album. I remember Zero. I'll never forget that because I'm like, damn, that band looks familiar because, like I said, I was binging seasons. This was well after I got into Linkin Park. I got into Linkin Park, 2001, 2002, like when they first really came out. And then, but anyway, so I thought that was cool. They were tasked on the show to promote bands. That's what they were. They weren't A&R, they were promoters. I'll never forget, like, wow, that turned out to be Linkin Park before they became Linkin Park. But if anybody's listening, I'm sure you can correct me on that. I'm too lazy to look it up right now. But on one of those seasons, either it was back to New York or it was Seattle. They were promoting a band. But anyway.
So I was going to say, for the most part, at least a lot of the information that I found, you don't get a ton of stuff from the new seasons. Now, mind you, they were watched, but you had Jersey Shore. All these other different types of reality TV shows that were coming out. Bravo was starting with their whole version of it, The Real Housewives. So people were kind of starting to go their separate ways.
Survivor.
American Idol
to an extent.
How could it be popular now? I just don't think Real World in general is, especially with this generation and the memes and their humor and whatnot, you're seeing less sex, less drinking, less everything. Where we were kind of like, maybe we get a shot at the title. But then 08 came around and destroyed families because of the greed of corporations.
Well, right? the thing about it is so many choices in reality television to choose from. And it's a new generation that don't know anything about the real world.
I think it's, for me, and this is just me saying, they don't want to watch reality. Why would I want to watch reality?
They want to create their own reality.
Yeah. This next generation is going to save the world. See what? No, No, you don't think so? I have a couple generations, and this is not me like giving shit. Like, it's not going to be this generation. It'll probably be the other one. But I think when they start having kids, if they do have kids, I don't think, I think there's going to be less and less people having kids.
8 billion people. The news report just, did you read that?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
8 billion people. People need to die. I'm just sorry.
Well, that's the thing.
Not you, listener.
I don't, I don't know if that is the case. Everyone's like, yeah, we just need to decrease the population. But like, we do need to decrease it, but we still need to make sure that people are having kids, because it's the whole, this basis of the book, Children of Men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a disease of people that, you know, like people couldn't have kids anymore, but it has nothing to do with that. It has more to do with the fact that depopulation, that people are going to want to have kids less. So with our generation, you know, when we retire or whatnot, if we don't, a lot of us aren't going to have money that's going to be saved in order for us to get through retirement. Who's going to take care of us? Because we have to take care of the boomers. They expect us to take care of them. In reality, you just put a pillow over their face and just go to sleep. Go to sleep.
I was going to relate what we were talking about to this, because you bring up a point like, well, what are people our age going to do when we get older? And I was going to say, like, who's to blame for this reality television shit? Because I was going to say, oh, it's our generation. It's millennials. It's Generation X. But then I'm like, wait a minute. The people that made this, as far as I know, they weren't like our generation. They weren't Generation X. If anything, they were probably
boomers.
Boomers. So when you look at it, I think they might have exploited our angst. They might have exploited some of the things that we were feeling, but I don't think we're to blame for it. But
the most privileged generation, and they got everything they wanted and left nothing for us and even the Gen Xers. They get their pensions and all that shit. They don't care. They get to retire when they're 55. Who gives a fuck about the person that's, you know, going to be retiring after me? No, I want, me wants me pension. Me wants me Bob Evans breakfast, early bird special. Me wants to poop regularly. Well, guess what? Glenda and Bob from down the street, going to get a bullet in your head. No.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I guess we can kind of close with this. I feel like the effect of this,
I don't think it's been good. I don't think it's been, honestly.
And that's I don't see. I was going to raise a point.
Oh, sorry. Sorry for.
No. You kind of like.
Interruptance.
Nah. It's your show. It's my show. It's whatever. I think.
It's your show, audience. Tell us what you want.
AfterSchoolSpecialPodcast.com. Listen, you guys who are new to the show, Samsung Free and all those other apps that I can't even pronounce. Welcome to the show. People in Ghana, people all over the world, France, Germany, Russia sometimes. You know, it's lovely to have you. AfterSchoolSpecialPodcast.com. Listen to more of our old episodes. They're all there, untapped, yep. Unlistened to. But getting to that in a second, I was going to say it kind of created the whole me generation.
Yep.
That's a bad way to put it. It didn't create it, but it damn sure magnified those people. Those people who look at reality television and said, that could be me.
Yeah.
And I fell prey to that. I mean, I did too. I didn't go on those shows, but I wanted to, because I thought about, well, how would I look on that show? What would I do? Me. Like, yes, these shows hold up a mirror to society, but at the same time, when you look into that mirror, do you really see yourself? Do you really see true reality when it's manipulated by the powers that be, when it's manipulated by money, when it's manipulated by people who have an agenda to sell things? I mean, I do love these shows, but it comes at a cost. Because
when I look in the mirror, I see a receding hairline and a weak chin.
One of the things I did love about this show, without a doubt, because of MTV and because of Real World, it definitely introduced me to new music. Because the thing about MTV's involvement with creating this show, you had a large library of music that they would put in these shows. That,
can I just say something? Yeah. I keep interrupting you. I apologize. But I completely disagree. They never had decent music on that show.
See,
MTV2, because they would play reruns. And I think that's what you're thinking of. They would play reruns of Real World, but they would also have MTV2 played mostly music, but would do reruns of shows. That's how I learned about like The Strokes, At the Drive-In, like all these different bands. Coldplay, for the first time.
What are you saying? You're saying MTV2, it did like actual music videos from the artists? Or are you saying...
From the artists. MTV stopped doing that after like 1995. They'd have some music videos late at night, but like it was very rare. TRL is probably the only, you know, thing other
Which
than
is
that.
Another
you
would have thing Real we World could talk about, but
TRL fucking.
But no, I'm saying, in those Real World episodes, I'll hear a song that I've never heard before. And this is like my coming of age stage where I was just like open to everything.
Yeah.
And when I was watching this Chicago season, I would hear a song. Yeah. And the cool thing about MTV at the end, it'll tell you what you heard throughout the episode. And then at the time I would go up on my dial up internet and be like, do, Kaza or LimeWire or whatever the Morpheus. And I would look that shit up. That's how I learned about a lot of the music that I like, because it was intertwined with the episode that I liked. And that's how they hooked me. But you're saying that's not true?
I think you're remembering it wrong.
Like they didn't have music in them? And
they might have had music, but I don't think it was like bands, MTVs. They didn't have Nirvana playing. They didn't have Limp Bizkit or anything like that, Korn playing. They never had those bands playing.
It might not have been well-known artists, but I do remember artists I've never heard of in those episodes, and they would like put at the end and I would look them up. From what I researched, it said they did draw from a large library of music because MTV controlled some of the rights to use it in their show. But even if it wasn't the well-known ones, they had some indie artists that I know for sure they put in those episodes. And I was like, oh, I'll look them up. And
agree to disagree.
You didn't do that. You didn't really explore Real World like that.
So when I watched it, Paris seemed interesting. So I come from a family of, well, needless to say, there's alcoholism in our family. So you see this stuff and it's like when you see that, I did not give a shit about those people. And for the most part, a lot of the time, those people were dumb. They were just dumb as hell. And tried to make themselves seem smart. Like what I
do. We're all dumb.
I try to make myself sound intelligent. And I come off very confident. I am intelligent, but I'm a dumbass. I am. And that's okay. But I admit that I'm a dumbass. These people thought they were like the bee's knees always. And like, there's one person in particular, and I think it was Paris. The guy was from Boston, and he's trying to be an action star recently. I just saw like in a trailer for something, and I'm just like, this goes into the whole like TikTok, social media. Like if this was started now, I don't think it would be as popular. You could see that it's not as popular as it was. Our generation might watch some of this stuff.
It just mutated. But it mutated into other things.
It's TikTok.
I mean, you take politics. Politics right now is basically reality TV. If you go back 30 years ago in 1990, it was not like this. I mean, I'm not even talking about as far as certain candidates and how they act. Well, I am, sorry. I mean, how media like shows them on TV. It's like reality TV as we see it. They might as well put a confessional in the news thing because it's like, that's all I see right now is reality TV. It's like, okay, Nancy Pelosi is this and da, 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 and did you know? And it's like, I got to know about her in the fucking house and I got to know about her fucking dog or I got to know about Joe Biden shit. Like, I don't give a shit about this shit. Why do I care? Why do I care? My whole point is everything you see
that
now
is
reality TV.
Reason why they're doing it, the reason why they're making politics into reality TV. The reason why everything is just becoming, in a sense, a story. You want drama, all this dumb shit, is to take away from the fact they don't give a fuck about us. They don't care whether we live or die, other than the fact that we need to pay taxes to pay them to sit in an office and eat cheeseburgers and McDonald's. Well, no, that was Trump.
Speaking of reality TV,
shit in his pants constantly.
We normally try to distance ourselves from politics, but you just brought up Donald Trump, who became more famous and becoming a reality star. And that TV show was called
The Apprentice.
There
we
you go.
We hold these people up when we should.
Dude, a reality star became president.
Fucking president.
The leader of the world.
Well, you look.
That's at how the powerful Republicans, this shit is.
Republicans have, like, I don't know. They like their actors and reality stars. They voted Reagan's ass in there.
That was movies. That was TV. And then he became an actual governor and a politician. I mean, whatever you.
Well, however, so did Schwarzenegger.
Right. But however you feel about
Jesse
those,
the Body.
However you feel about those three people, there was steps. There was like, oh, okay, yeah, of course, you retire from your main job, then you get into politics, then you become this, you became that. He held no office. He did nothing in politics.
No.
But because of the rhetoric, because of his fame from reality TV and a weak candidate on the other side, no offense, but he was able to become the leader of the free fucking world. And that's how powerful reality television is. If anybody's to blame for him being
the
president,
Party. It's the Democratic
Party. Okay, but they nobody ever talks about reality television's involvement in that. Nobody ever brings up, like, well,
to an extent, yes,
it helped
that's how
a
he
lot.
Was his name. But his name, Trump, had been around everywhere, movies, everything.
Without reality television, Trump, would he have been the president?
I think he would have been a more viable candidate in a lot of people's eyes if he hadn't been. But yeah,
he would have been Ross Perot. He would have just been Ross Perot.
I don't know if he made stuff interesting.
An eccentric billionaire. But he wouldn't, like, people grew up watching him in some cases that voted for him. People see his shit on reruns on NBC or have seen his shit.
Well, they think he's a successful businessman because of The Apprentice. I see that, which he's not. He is not a successful businessman. And you can look up the shit.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pull his stat. I'm not going there. Reality television has not only shaped television forever, but it's shape politics,
and that was my point. Also the fact that the Democratic Party completely railroaded Bernie Sanders. But yes,
and I am not disagreeing with you. I don't know how long you wanted to get that one in, but good for you.
Bernie Sanders is my president. Anyways,
Jesus Christ, let it go.
But no, you're right. I think you're right. Reality TV, when it first started out, I think had more benefits. Now that the internet is the way that it is, we're able to reach societies never seen before in the Amazon. You know, like, we can be all over the place at the same time. We know we have more information coming to us than ever before. So now what is reality TV? Because we're not getting information anymore. It's drama, trash TV. And so now you can have, like, I don't know, one of the Real Housewives of New York become a senator. She's pooped her pants a couple times. There are women on that show that have pooped their pants.
Ooh, and tell me more.
It's not. No, never no. Mind. I'm yeah. sure they're wearing. One of them's wearing the pants. Anyways, but it's like, it's all trash now. You're not going to get the same experience unless you're doing possibly. And people listening out there, MTV, I don't know, NBC, you have a multi-generational real world type thing where you have a boomer, you have a Gen Zer, Gen Xer, and millennial. They're all in the same house living together. Female, I don't know, the boomer is an old white dude. The Gen Xer is, I don't know, a businesswoman. The millennial is a LGBTQ. And then the Gen Zer is non-gender specific, probably wants to be a dog. I don't know.
That sounds good to me. I watch.
Yeah.
At least
I'd watch
Facebook
it
watch
to see and understand, like, maybe they can get on the same level and understand one another. But other than that, putting in the same generation of people, putting in, you know, it's not going to have the same effect anymore. It just won't. And you now see that it is a lot of these reality TV shows are scripted. They're edited in a way that there's no reality TV. It's all just drama.
I think it's just improv. Like, we'll put them in a situation and we want them to just react. And every situation you see on the television in those shows is staged, but the reactions are semi-genuine. When I mean semi-genuine, they might not tell these people, hey, we're going to do this to you. But I think going into these shows, I think in the back of your head or in the front of your head, you know, okay, if they do anything like that, I gotta be a character of myself. So instead of saying, damn, man, that's fucked up, I got to say, damn, man, that's fucked up, because I know I'm on TV. And I feel like that's where the genuine
Yeah.
Yeah. It just...
And then I'm in it and I'm like, I'm a Republican because I'm white and I'm wearing a polo.
Yeah.
But I got a better reality TV show. You put people in a room for 3 days together, no food, water, that's about it. And then you put a couple Crave cases, a White Castle in there, one bathroom, that's it. There's your reality TV show. A group of 20 people with multiple Crave cases, White Castle burgers. Now, if you don't, oh, well, actually, this is more for, you know, the whole nation. Taco Bell. You get a bunch of Taco Bell in a room, one bathroom that kind of works, and see what happens.
I don't know if I'll watch, but I mean, I'll give it a shot.
You'd see like empathy, and then you'd see rage and anger, and then you would see diarrhea all over the place.
If it was like on TikTok and it was like 30-second episodes, I'd give it a shot.
God damn it. No, get off of TikTok.
Which, well, listen to us, though. Listen to us.
Yes, listen to us. We love all people and people that identify as whatever you want.
We already know what our listeners identify as.
Latchkey kids.
Latchkey kids, broken homies, welcome home. Hello, listener. You, we're talking to you. Nostalgia. You're in the land of nostalgia. You're in the land of hopes and dreams. But afterschoolspecialpodcast.com, afterschoolspecial3 on TikTok, afterschoolspe3 on Twitter. We're on YouTube, After School Special Podcast. Look us up. Rate us 5 rate stars. Us. Yes.
Rate us. Yes. Rate us. Rate us.
Share.
People, share. You got to do it in threes. Everything comes in threes. We are here for you, for your listening pleasure. Let us entertain you. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us how we're doing. Make fun of us. Anything and everything that you want. If there's something in particular that you like about an episode, if there's something that we said that was incorrect, a friend of ours likes to text us when we're incorrect about something. So also the Black Panther episode, we were wrong about something.
See, I'm glad you brought that up. And that's why we do the Retro Rewinds, which, like I said, off and on, Staff Man is going to do the Retro Rewinds. Last time he did Greek Gods and Mythology. Sometimes Double D, me, Aaron, we're going to do Retro Rewinds too. But yes, be on the lookout for that, because the Retro Rewinds is a chance to go back and revise some of the old episodes we did. And by revising, we might correct some of the things that we say that we're going to talk about. Like,
yes. Well, the Black Panther, I think we had said that Black Panther was the first black superhero in comics other than minstrel stuff that we had seen before in the past before that. But actually, Lion Man was the first black superhero. I've never heard of him.
It
was found on Nerdist. And thanks to the person that sent us that. Really appreciate you.
The website is called SpeakPipe.com. That's speakpipe.com. Latchkey Kids Speak. That is the full website where you can leave a voicemail and we'll play it on the show either at the end if it's good enough, or if you want to send us just love, like, hey, you guys are doing great. Oh, I don't know. Or you just want to give
send us like a noise in the background that's like, just like that. I don't care. Just send us something for the love of God. I need people to listen so I can react to them and then, you know, play off of what you're saying.
Listen to our older episodes, Black Panther episode, which, man, I thought we did a good job on. Also, the Retro Rewinds and our other past episodes that we really take pride in what we do. We joke around, we mess around a lot, but yep, we really, really enjoy doing this podcast. And we hope you enjoy listening to this podcast.
Have a listen to the Greek Gods episode, because that's like way back nostalgia, because we were around then, right? I'm sorry, that's the last one I'll do.
Ooh. Ooh. But
don't put that in there.
Is there anything else we needed to mention? I think that was it.
We just want to say how much we appreciate you guys, and thank you for everyone that's listening and the new listeners that are coming. Please have your voices be heard. We want to hear from you guys, whether it be messages, whatnot. We get to communicate with you via Instagram. Don't be scared to say anything. make fun of us. Be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't care. We just want interaction with you guys. We want to know who our audience is. So that way we can do you.
That's the new slogan. So, we can do you.
Hey, everyone. It's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcasts. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Ted Laudrey, goodbye. Goodbye. Pauly D. And then the situation.